Welcome to this new episode of the Teachers of Europe podcast. This is a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring educators that can inspire others to follow in their footsteps. The podcast has its home on the European School Education Platform, a European Union platform for schools funded by the Erasmus Plus program. My name is Benjamin Hertz, and I'm your host for this episode. Now, in this episode, we will explore a topic that all of us as teachers are, or at least we should be, grappling with. And that's the big question: what is the impact of AI on student learning? And more specifically, what does this mean for the assessment practices we use in our classroom? Now, in slightly different words, what I want to discuss here today with our guest is how do we design assessment in such a way that it remains relevant for an AI world and valid in the sense that it actually measures student learning in the way that we would like to see student learning happening. And I think this is really a fundamental question for all the discussions around AI in education, because we can talk all we want about changing the curriculum, about changing our pedagogical approaches, about what are the right tools, about safety and ethics of using AI. But if we do not change how we assess learning in our schools, then the likelihood of actually seeing substantive changes in the pedagogical practices, for example, or how we organize teaching and learning in general, are actually going to be quite limited. Because we do know that in most cases, what and how we assess has a big impact on what and how we teach in the classroom. So, for example, we can argue that we need to focus on more human skills like collaboration in the classroom. But as long as we do not assess collaboration in our schools, then will we also actually teach collaboration in our schools? So I think this assessment topic really goes to the heart of the whole discussion around AI in education, and it links closely to all these discussions that we're having around the right tools, the method, and the curriculum. Now, that's why I'm really glad to be joined here today by two very experienced educators who have experience of working in the classroom, but also of working with teachers and helping teachers to work with AI in the classroom. So first, we have with us here today, Marta Pinto from Portugal. Marta has many years of experience of working as an art teacher, but also as a researcher and working in the technology sector. And a few years ago, she founded the initiative called AI Goes to School, which provides training and lesson plans for teachers on the topic of AI. Marta, it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Many thanks for joining us.
Hi, Benjamin. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And it's wonderful to be speaking now with you and Georgia.
Great. Thank you, Marta. Now, it's also a great pleasure to welcome our second guest, Georgia Manetta from Greece. We have been collaborating with Georgia for a long time because she is a very experienced e-twinning ambassador and also a classroom teacher and teacher trainer, of course. But you also run trainings for teachers and you have supported some of our own trainings on the European School Education Platform and also e-twinning. You also love to work with technology, as far as I understand, and have a lot of experience of working with AI in the classroom. So many thanks, Georgia, for joining us here today.
It's a pleasure being here with you, Benjamin and Marta. I work in a primary school in Kalanera, which is a seaside village, really beautiful.
Great. Okay. Well, let's jump right into it then. And I'd like to start talking a bit about the kind of challenges that you have experienced yourself in the classroom, but also that you have experienced of your in your work with teachers, what they have told you about, the kind of challenges that have emerged in the area of assessment since AI tools have become widely accessible to students and us as teachers. Let's start with you, Marta.
Sure. I mean, I've been working with teachers. I haven't had experience in the classroom with children anymore. Unfortunately, I miss it a lot. But I've had the fortunate opportunity to be working with teachers who are working in through primary school education to secondary and higher education. And so about assessment, it's always a topic that shows up. Well, first, it always shows up how impactful AI is being in people's lives and in students, the emotions, the fears, the potential, the excitement around the technology. But of course, a teacher always needs to take care about so much in the classroom, and not only the strategies, the learning, but also the assessment also comes up every time. And, you know, as conversations evolve with teachers, I've come to notice that when they are more sensitive and they have training around AI literacy, assessments with AI and around AI, it starts to make more sense and people start to feel more confident exploring. But the challenges are always, how do I do this in the process, because teachers are beginning to understand through their practice, their trial and errors with AI in the classroom, through training around AI in the classroom, they're starting to understand and to become clear to them that AI is a process. It's a process of integration, right? So it's a technology that's going to be present in all steps of the learning process. And it's those different moments are going to be assessed, because as we all heard in the beginning of this adventure of AI impacting the world and impacting the classroom, we started hearing about the concerns around cheating, about using AI to, you know, to cognitive offload the students' learning. And that was a big concern. But I think that in 2026, what I hear from teachers, it's that they are now understanding that the assessment isn't going to be the same anymore. It's not at the end of a certain period of time where we assess the learning. Even the formats, they're going to be different, but it's becoming clear that it's something they're going to have to do along the process. So this first fear and reactions to, is AI gonna potentiate cheating, started immediately implicating teachers to reflect on how they could go around that. And of course, teachers are the most creative professionals I know. So they are usually, you know, they have 28, 30, 40 people in front of them with many inputs, and they are used to being creative and solving solutions by the second. So they started coming up with very creative solutions for that, and they started experimenting. So from my experience, just to finalize the idea, is that teachers have started experimenting with integrating AI in assignments in different moments of the learning process. And the end process many times stays the same. Sometimes it's a test, sometimes it changes as well. But the secret has been teachers experimenting with AI along the process.
Excellent. Thanks for kicking us off there, Marta. And I think let's go into a bit more detail in a moment about the dynamics involved in that integration of AI in the process, and also the more process-oriented assessment that I think we want to explore a bit further. But before we do that, Georgia, you're still working in the classroom. I mean, what was the first kind of challenge that you came across? Does it correspond with what Marta said, or do you have slightly different experiences?
I work in a primary school and kindergarten, which means that students are not very familiar with using AI, for example, let's say to write an essay or, to do a presentation. So I cannot say that I have come up with unpleasant surprises. However, during my training, educators who are really excited and enthusiastic about the use of AI at school and about the use of AI to give them some more free time for themselves and in order to do something more creative, they keep asking me, "Hey, Georgia, you showed us, for example, an amazing tool to create instant presentations. How can we make sure that this tool will not or is not already being used by our students?" And the thing I tell them is this: well, I could create a presentation about Mozart, let's say. I'm not a music teacher. And I could come here and present to you Mozart as if I were an expert in this topic. However, think and tell me, would I be able to reply to a question of yours with a deeper meaning if I hadn't studied more about Mozart? And they seem to nod their heads and say, yes, you can't. So what I always tell them, and to my students as well, even if they are primary school students, is the fact that they may cheat with using AI in order to write a composition or an essay, etc. However, when they enter the examination room, they will not be able to do it. So they have to stand on their own feet and on their own skills, let's say.
You were mentioning that teachers are realizing how to use these AI tools and what the impact is on the dynamics in the classroom. So how does that change the way they organize their lessons? And in particular, how do they assess for the learning of students? Is there anything that you can add to that?
Yes. AI is can easily help them to create quizzes with multiple choice questions and true or false questions, which are really easy to grade. However, they started changing the way they assess their students during their writing skills or their presentation skills by asking them, let's say, extra questions after the paper they hand in, students hand in. This will give teachers more, let's say, time and understanding of what their students have already acquired in terms of knowledge and what they have understood and how to what degree they are able to present it to the class or to the teachers themselves.
And do you have any information from the teachers about how this has impacted the student engagement when the assessment focuses much more on the process rather than the product?
Yes, actually, from the perception is that students are much more engaged in the assignments and the activities and the process. So students are not alone. They don't go alone and do the assignment and come back with doubts. They have higher level of questioning when they come to the teacher because it's very much more followed step by step. And when students have enough AI literacy, because all of these teachers that I'm talking about, they do work AI literacy with their students, AI ethics, the bias. So students are training as well to be aware of that and to work with AI within those limitations. So becoming aware of when or when not to use it best. And so as students learn the best moments for their learning to use AI, not a first contact, for example, for an assignment, but maybe in the middle of the assignment where it can help, you know, maybe structure the text or organize ideas or plan for the end project, let's say. And students are much more, when they come to class, they come much more engaged with different questions, more difficult questions for the teacher as well, and more developed ideas. So there are some students who are not engaged. It's not the same for everyone. For some students, it's what teachers share with me. It's that AI is difficult because it's very, it requires the student to interact in natural language and language. Some students are not so proficient, so they do have difficulties. And that's something to go around. Some teachers teach students to work around the sounds and recording their voice. But anyway, so it's more engaging at the moment from the perception that I have for students who are also more naturally developed competences to interact with text and written text with an AI tool.
And this is such a powerful learning experience for them, right? To think about their learning, that metacognitive dynamic that is involved in this kind of reflective process is also a very powerful learning experience. Very nice. Thank you, Marta, for outlining that for us. Georgia, is that anything that you also have experience with, of this process-oriented assessment and getting students to reflect about their own learning? Does this work at primary school level already?
I think that chatbots is a great way of assessing students in primary schools, especially the older, let's say, grades, where students can discuss, interact with a chatbot based on a lesson they had. In this way, the chatbot will lead them and show them what they have already learned, what they have already understood, and what they still miss. Concerning the essays being written by AI or students being helped by AI, again, I think that teachers in primary schools tend to ask different questions in order for students to elaborate more on how they wrote this specific piece, how they found, let's say, the relevant information, etc. So again, I think we need to turn assessment towards critical thinking skills and the responsible use of AI. AI, as I always say, is not there to do your work. It's there to help you deal with it in a way.
Can I pick up on something you said right at the beginning? You mentioned using the AI bot to give feedback to the students. Mm-hmm. How do you then work with the students and the AI as part of that as your teacher? Because the role of the teacher suddenly changes, right? I mean, the AI kind of gives the feedback that you might usually give to the students. So what does that mean for you as the teacher? What's your role in that exchange with the AI?
Okay, I can, let's say, program the AI to talk to students about specific, I always love this topic, about specific British celebrations like Halloween, for example, or Thanksgiving Day, etc. And through the questions that the bot can ask them, it will, let's say, understand whether my students have understood the meaning of Thanksgiving Day or what the Easter Bunny does during Easter Day, etc. The good thing for me as a teacher is the fact that I can assess, let's say, all my students simultaneously, as at the end of the interactions, I can have a plausible grade that AI has already given my students. However, I always know how far the student has gone after the interaction. I mean, if Benjamin, you were to talk to a bot about Thanksgiving Day and the bot gave you a B, I wouldn't take B strictly as a B because I know that behind Benjamin hides a shy person, a shy student, a weak student whose English was not very good at the beginning, but now he's ready to interact with a machine and express himself better. So even if for the AI, Benjamin is a B, for me, Benjamin is A-, let's say, something like this.
And that's, I think, such a crucial point, right? To maintain the human oversight and not to just outsource the entire assessment or feedback process to the AI.
Always.
Great, excellent, thanks. Is that anything that you also have experience with, Marta, sort of using AI in the feedback process?
Yeah, absolutely. Teachers do report that a lot, but they also report the dilemma that Giorgio was talking about, which is, how can I be transparent with my students and about when I'm using also AI to assess them or taking in consideration some assessment or feedback that AI gives me about students' work? And it's interesting because there are different approaches that teachers I see that are experimenting. Some teachers are being very transparent with their students and saying, you know, we have this, you're interacting, for example, with a chatbot, and we have visibility as teachers of your conversation. And so this will result in an assessment. We will look at the assessment that the AI tool suggests, but you will never receive a feedback that is not human and an assessment that is not human decision made. And this is very interesting because it is part of the decision process, the learning process to make a decision that teachers also need to learn how to do. How much can we trust the tools, and how do they weigh different parameters for, so the assessment, it is what it is. How transparent are the tools as well? And how transparent can we be and should we be in the assessment process with our students? It's quite an interesting learning process as well for all of us, because there's no right or wrong answers or just an answer that will tell you this is really effective and this is going to work. It's part of this new types of interactions that ourselves as teachers that we are learning how to do, which is, as you were saying, the human oversight is always at the top of the pyramid, right? And that's the most important, because teaching with AI or without AI, if it's teaching, it's a relationship, and relationships are between humans, and it's a trust relationship.
Yeah, trust and transparency are really crucial. Giorgia, you mentioned this idea of giving the chatbot certain parameters to engage with your students, maybe also a rubric that the chatbot can use. Can you tell us a bit more about how you sort of design assessment tasks like the one that you mentioned with AI? What type of information you provide to the AI, and generally maybe how you set up such an activity?
When programming a chatbot, you always need to give it a role. For example, you are a teacher who teaches history, let's say in year six, in grade six. You should also add the tone that the chatbot will interact in with the students, be formal, informal, friendly, patient, with an explanatory note, etc. I usually add PDFs, which I have used during my lessons, or YouTube videos that I find particularly useful. And of course, before giving it out to students, I try it out myself, so that I see if I have done, let's say, the correct programming or not. There is always trial and error in programming a chatbot. Let's not forget that we are educators and we are always we always learn.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. We've talked a bit about the sort of classroom dynamics. What I'd like to talk a bit more about is the kind of skills that we focus on in our teaching and learning, and as a result of that, also in the assessment process. Are we in need of assessing different types of skills that we were assessing before? Marta, what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I definitely see that. I see a change in focused more on the essential skills and the durable skills that students need to have. And the focus of the continuous assessment is much more on that. I'll give you an example. For example, a secondary teacher who is featured in AI Goes to School, she shared a problem-based learning process where students had to they had to study history, then solve a problem. But the assessment that she did was through different moments of writing essays, generating reports, but she accompanied that always through a reflective e-portfolio. So for her, it was important that despite all the moments of assessment that there were going to be that she planned, that she had a reflective process that the student did and that she followed along the learning path. And actually, this reflective process was also shared in between peers. So students were also able to learn with each other around how was the use of AI affecting their learning positively, and some other students reflecting actually on how it was affecting negatively. And so students reflected actually on, you know, when we need students to have quality writing, when we need students to deepen their thinking or their research, some of them reflected that when they jumped into AI as a first resource and started working, they actually thought it was limited. It limited their options. So reflecting on that and learning through the process has been something that I've been seeing more teachers do. I'm talking about secondary teachers because it's easier. Students have more autonomy in these reflection processes. And this has been something that's been more effective, and it's more evident in the classroom from the teachers I've been had contact with. So the competencies that teachers are aware that are coming up as more important, more relevant in the AI era are precisely the human-centric skills, right? I mean, we've talked for many years about the 21st century skills. We've had the foundational literacies that are very important. We all understand, and teachers have been working towards that. I think AI literacy now is definitely getting the highlight. But within the AI literacy, there are lots of literacies, right? We have emotional, we have information, media literacy. There's so much integrated into that. But thinking about the competencies, teachers are very aware now that creativity needs to be at the top of the competencies that they are asking for, that they are creating conditions for it to be developed, for students to, you know, flourish, develop their creative thinking, because you need that when you interact more with the machines, right? You need to keep being the human that knows the direction, that can imagine futures, that can imagine how to use a machine in any setting, any scenario. But as well, critical thinking, it comes up so much. Teachers are very concerned about the students not being able to critically assess the relevance of a tool or the relevance or non-relevance of an information and of an output and how they can integrate that into their to their lives, into their processes. So critical thinking is becoming more and more highlighted during my trainings and teachers trying to work that with students, creating different moments for students to be able to reflection and having those moments to question have come up a lot as well.
If I may just come in there, but how do we assess this? How do we assess reflection? How do we assess metacognition? How do we assess the kind of social emotional skills that are becoming more important? You mentioned these kind of, you know, very human skills. How do we assess that? Do you have some examples from that?
Let me tell you that our teachers have been doing that a lot, right? So for years, our teachers assess creativity. That's what we do in the classroom. It's a process. It's never an end product, which is more creative or not. It's the capacity of the student to show how he or she adds ideas, techniques, and integrates them to create a solution that has something new that adds to a solution, an existing solution already, right? So what I see in teachers from other subjects, biology, geography, technologies, is also creating different moments for students to develop a project, for example, where they need to search. They search, they have a question, a problem they want to solve. They need to search for information. That's assessed, the quality of the search. Okay, how rigorous, how did you do it? First of all, how did you verify the information? What are the sources? Show me, you know, that's an assessment piece right there. And then you use that to create something. Let's imagine you need to create a poster about the solution you're creating for an environmental issue in your local area. So now you're taking the search that you did, that you verified the information, you've confirmed with the teacher, that's an assessment piece. And now you're taking that into proposing a solution. And to propose that solution, for example, and I'm telling you a real case study from teacher Barbara and Ana Franco from Portugal. And what they did was students now interact with the AI on fine-tuning the solution for that issue after their research. And so they need to quote the AI, how they used it, and what were the solutions they proposed and how the process was developed together in co-collaboration with the AI. That itself, that process that the student describes and shows the teachers is an assessment piece as well. And then the other, how do you communicate your idea? So you now have a solution and you create a poster and you need to present your ideas for a competition, which actually was what happened. Students were creating this to show in a competition from secondary schools. And they needed to create a poster. So they created a visual communication. They followed, you know, all that they learned with the teachers that was important to communicate their ideas in a scientific poster. And that was a piece of assessment itself. How do you communicate your ideas to others that are not experts? And how do you organize the elements, the visual elements, et cetera? And then defending your idea, presenting to the class. That's another moment of assessment. Your communication skills. Right? Your capacity also to be curious and to detail your ideas with others and to receive feedback and to answer to questions. How much depth knowledge do you have in domain of your own topic? So this is one example.
Yeah, no, that's such a powerful example that, you know, addresses so many of these different skills or literacies that students need and how we can capture that. That's a very nice example. I think some of the things we're talking about here, in a way, we've known them for a long time. We've known their good practice for a very long time. But for some teachers, and especially in some education systems where things are still quite traditional or very formal, it's probably quite a big shift to move to these ways of assessing student learning and understanding student learning. So understandably, some teachers might be quite daunted by the prospect of this. Marta, what is one small change that a teacher could make to an existing assessment, maybe a quite traditional assessment where they ask the students to write an essay at the end of a unit or so? What's one small change that they could do as part of that that could shift the assessment into a more process-oriented focus?
Well, maybe one small change is one of the exercises I did with teachers last week in a training session was a traditional assignment. And I tell them, okay, now we're going to go use an AI chatbot and we're going to be 17-year-old students that are going to use the AI chatbot to do it. So try to do the assignment in an AI chatbot as if you were a student that was going to, you know, fully use it to resolve it. Experience it. You need to understand, and we had quite a laugh. And we had quite a fun moment in this session because we all were 17 years old once in our lives. Okay. We all tried to, you know, we wanted to go and be with our friends and outside and just wanted to quickly get over with the homework. And so it's not about not trusting. It's about, you know, understanding why it's done and how it's done by the students. And then what the teachers did next, and I said, okay, now let's take this very basic, let's call it traditional assignment, which was not AI resistant assignment, and let's interact with an AI chatbot to get ideas on how to make this assignment an AI resistant assignment. And that's what they did. We had a very big an AI tutor prompt where we said, you know, we have this instruction, take this assignment and make it resistant to AI. And what does this mean? This means that me as a teacher wants the student to not offload to the AI these essential competencies. And we wrote them down in our prompt. But we also informed in the tutor prompts that the students could offload some competencies, some tasks, like planning, like organizing, like the text, or maybe generating an idea. So after they generated, the AI generated a series of solutions, of possible solutions of transforming one assignment. And it's almost, for most of the teachers, it broke the assignment down to maybe like four steps, each step with a different assignment. So I would encourage teachers to do that, to play around. If you have no idea how to do it, go to an AI chatbot, take your regular traditional assignment, and just say, I'm a Portuguese language teacher. I teach students at 11th grade level, and I have this assignment, and I want to make it AI resistant. But I want the assignment to not allow students to use AI for these essential skills. Write them down. But I allow AI to be used for these tasks, and write that down and see what the AI gives back to you. You know what happened? Two teachers had this eureka moment. They were like, oh, maybe I could change this assignment in my next class. And it's suggesting that I do this reflection process first with them, and then they can go and use AI. Because if they use it first, then it will condition their thinking. And for me, it was more obvious because I've had the fortunate opportunity of listening to these aha moments for many teachers in my trainings. But for that teacher, it was the first time and it was impactful. So it generated ideas and made the teacher also more creative on how they could change the process.
Excellent. Such a powerful learning experience for the teachers, but also then for the students ultimately down the line. So yeah, very nice. One thing we haven't talked about so far, but which I know many teachers come across and also some teachers rely on, are AI detection tools. Do you have any experience with those, or what's your advice to teachers in regards to those?
The AI detection tools actually have been, well, through research, several research papers that have been put out 2024, 2025, they are seen as not effective. They've been proven they're not effective. So they are quite biased as well when they're by a non-English or native language speaker that writes in a certain way a text. It, some, many times these tools identify the text as not being human generated when it was. So it has a large errors happening with them. I remind everyone that even ChatGPT had in the beginning an AI detector, and it took it down because it wasn't very, very accurate. So the important thing is teach how to do the work without AI and to think about the process. It's not going back to pen and paper. It's creating a trust relationship between how we can use these tools best without offloading our cognitive work, so we can have long-term and essential learnings. But I wouldn't focus too much on, you know, I will catch plagiarism, because these tools don't work. And the best example is a teacher shared with me last week that she noticed that in her end of secondary school year, students had no idea what plagiarism was, because she noticed when she asked for an assignment that many of them were doing plagiarism things, but she noticed it was kind of in an innocent way. So she had a conversation with a class, and actually through the conversations, questions, answers about what it meant to copy and what was plagiarism, what did students think it was, she found out that actually they had lots of misinformation about what it was. And so she took the opportunity of teaching them and integrating already on how to quote and cite AI tools if they used. So it's starting these more complex conversations rather than just using the tools to catch anyone that's doing not having so much academic integrity in doing their work.
Okay, well, many thanks to both of you. I think we've covered a lot of ground here in this conversation, going across quite a different range of issues associated with assessment, but hopefully it will give our listeners some cues of where to start in regards to changing up their assessment processes, changing up their teaching and learning processes when it comes to AI. Many thanks to both of you for providing your ideas and examples from your practice. Big thank you also to our listeners today. We will be back with a new episode next month again, so keep an eye out for updates and news on the European School Education Platform for our next episodes. Many thanks. All the best. Goodbye.